So we'll come back to it and pretend that we listened to it.
Okay.
Okay, we can edit this part out. Or leave it in and pretend we edited it out.
Hello, listener, and welcome to episode 2 of the Sneaky Dragon Podcast. I'm one half of this nonsense, Ian Boothby.
And I'm the other half of this nonsense, David Dedrick.
That's right. Two half-wits making a semi-witted show. Yes. We made it to two. I think
that's made it to two. Only 248 more to go after this,
and then we get a cup. I think they give a tiny cup for podcasts that last that long.
Well, what I want to do then is we're actually going to stop doing Sneaky Dragon, and then it's going to become a sequel, and we'll do Sneaky Dragon 2. The Awakening, the sure. Revenge.
Well, regardless, that
3D?
Time,
oh,
that time it
season,
will be
sorry.
Personal. Let's just go with that at least. Thank you for bearing with our intro so far. The show begins now. We know that we're a real show because we have gotten both a letter of compliment and we have gotten a letter of complaint.
That's pretty good. That's a good start.
That's a well-balanced start. We wanted to apologize again to one of our listeners. I guess technically two of our listeners. One of our listeners was 9 years old and was not aware that there was a lot of swearing in their last episode right off the top. But the mother was aware and let us know that she was aware. And apologies have been issued.
Yes, we've also sent them a cease and desist letter from our lawyer. So I don't know what that means, but apparently some sort of legal wranglings are happening behind scenes now.
That's right, yeah.
And
about 95% of our budget goes to our legal team.
That's right.
That is covering our asses because of me using the word asses.
You just said it, yes. I was going to say covering our legal briefs, but anyway...
But thank God you didn't, because what a terrible way that would be to start the show. Second start to the show begins now. Did you have a topic to begin with, Dave? Because you said earlier that you did.
Well, I wanted to kind of do an amendment to last week's show.
Please, so noted. Robert's Rules of Order, floor recognizes David Dedrick.
Thank you. Is there a second? Seconded. Okay, so last week you kind of sprung on me the question, what was my favorite dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said Smaug, which must be true because it came to my mind, the first thing that came to my mind. But after I was thinking,
right,
one of my other favorite dragons would be the dragon from the Stan Freberg sketch, St. George and the Dragonette.
Yes, okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
It was a dragon.
Hey, I'm the fire-breathing dragon. You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new 45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pinned that rap on me. Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
Wow, Dave, you did a perfect impression of Stan Freberg.
Thank you. Yes, I've been working on it for quite a while. Actually, I'm a big admirer of Stan Freberg. So
as am I. I like Stan Freberg a great deal.
Do you think the thing I feel about Stan Freberg though is that he's not going to be known the way that it won't last through generation. Do you know what I mean? Like it seems that what he really liked is not what people are interested in now because, maybe I'm wrong because we're doing a podcast. We're doing this visual thing. I'm just about to say
You are debating yourself quite well right now. I'm curious to see which of you is going to win this one.
Because what I was going to say was that I think that, you know, the visual medium,
mm-hmm.
in a way has died. Now, saying that, here we are doing a podcast.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking. So, I wish you told me this a couple of microphones and a couple of $100 ago.
Yeah, that's ixnay on the money. Anyway, so but I just feel like what really interested him, is kind of skipped a couple of generations, and maybe people will come back to him with the return. Maybe through a revival of interest in listening to things?
Well, I think there is a revival. Now, let me just take, for example, you, the listener, are listening to this with your ears. Perhaps you have earbuds in. Maybe you're at the gym. Good for you, by the way, working out, doing this. People that work out while moving. Listening to podcasts get a lot fitter. That is a fact that is not true. And yet I'm going to say that.
People who listen to podcasts get fitter.
Get fitter.
This is an actual fact.
That is not true. But it's
95%.
That does not take away from the fact that it's a fact.
It's 95% not true. So 5% truth is what you're saying.
Unfortunately, any podcast that involves math loses at least half of their listeners. That is
so
not true either.
So 45% of that is true. So that's also 5% true.
Okay. You're not carrying the three, though.
That's true.
That's right. Dave's using Canadian math. He's using metric math. This is his problem on that.
That's right.
But going back to the – now I'm seeing why this is a dying medium.
Well, because the problem is if you're doing Celsius math, you have to subtract the 32. Anyway.
Okay. Fair. You know what?
32 is freezing in Fahrenheit. So.
Let's agree –
disagree.
Yeah, let's do that or agree to agree. Either way, whatever gets us out of this snake eating its own tail that we've gotten into.
Okay.
But no, I am going to disagree with you in that I think people are enjoying podcasts. Yeah. And the next logical step to that, like right now, most podcasts are what we're doing here, which is two dudes yapping it up. But it then it will probably evolve from there to more and more, you know, what radio evolved into.
You think it's becoming more elaborate.
Exactly.
Because
dramas and sketches and different things. The medium is just going to expand as far as people's imaginations will go. And I think that's going to be exciting. And Stan Freberg was doing some wonderful stuff in a very similar medium in the past. And I can't see how people wouldn't be interested. If they're interested in this kind of thing, they would probably – it's not a big leap to go. They would be interested in that kind of thing.
Okay. So I'll take it one step farther, though, because he was also doing satire of a particular time, right? So his satire, say, of rock and roll might not be – pleasing to people, like in a way he kind of lost that generation of an audience too, because he was making fun of Elvis Presley, he was making fun of the doo-wop music because he really liked jazz, and so that music to him was primitive, you know, garbage, and so it made fun of it, and so in a way he alienated that generation of teenagers who are coming up loving rock and roll, loving this new music, and here's this old fuddy-duddy, you know, with his clarinet and his horn-rimmed glasses, making fun. He didn't really play a clarinet, people. I'm just making that part up. But,
you assume if you've got a pair of horn-rimmed glasses, you get a free clarinet with that at most glasses stores.
That's right.
What kind are you getting? You getting those? Boom. Here's your clarinet. Mm-hmm. I don't play that. You will. Take it home. As soon as you put it on, wear it 5 days, and you will be able to play at least a little bit of maybe Moonlight Sonata.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moonlight. Did you say Moonyite?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know what? You know what's great? Picking nits. Well, you're hacking on or mentioning Stan Freberg. He had this thing, he was making fun, and that was his flaw. And then immediately, the one little Achilles heel that I have, you see exposed, go for it. Like,
it was I was concerned about my own hearing. It wasn't anything to do with you.
Oh, that's fine. Well, we are elderly.
We are elderly.
Elderly gentlemen.
Yes.
That is an interesting point. I think like humor that does last longer isn't the humor that is specifically satirizing. It's like political humorists today. There's a lot of people who, you know, as much as people enjoy The Daily Show, it'd be very difficult to watch those, you know, in a year or 2 years or 3 years. It doesn't hold up.
There'd be some moments that would transcend their time. But it's unlikely that I'm going to pull out like some old Mark Russell specials and sit and watch those and enjoy his rollicking piano playing, making fun of the Democratic Party circa 1982.
Well, I think what the problem with most of those is, most political satirists, you have to come at it with the attitude that this really matters. And I'm not saying that politics don't matter, but you come at it with a passion where it's like this, everything's falling apart. Oh my gosh, look at this. And over the course of time, it matters less. You look back on it and go, well, that wasn't so bad. I guess that was a little bit, but you know, and then you get more and more context and all of a sudden the fire is taking out of it. And it's like with rock and roll, it's like rock and roll is going to be, rock and roll was fine. And then it became this and then it became that and it's okay. And it's not the threat that he saw it was going to be.
It's partly that. It's also partly, just like everything else in your life, is that politics becomes part of your nostalgia, right? So we look back fondly on the Trudeau era. It's unlikely that our parents, who lived in Western Canada, you know, dyed in the wool, Trudeau haters, to a man, to a woman, you know, they don't look at that time period with the sort of rose-colored glasses that we do. And I feel the same, you know, so it's the same with music, the same with, you know, if you were very young growing up through music, like for me, growing up in the 80s, mm-hmm. as a teenager, I have a deep, strong hatred. I wouldn't say hatred. This is a strong dislike for a lot of the music of that time period, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, to me, some music from that time is great, and it's still great, but a lot of it is dreck, mm-hmm. and a lot of it sounds really awful with sort of the gated snare and the synth sounds of that time period. It sounds really awful. Now, that's because I grew up at my age. Now, if I was a six-year-old at that time, or an eight-year-old, I would have a totally different opinion of that music because it would be part of the soundtrack of my growing up.
That's right. It's what's in the background. Yeah, it's what's in the in your background. I can see that.
Yeah, so politics would fall. It's like fashion and all kinds of other things, you know, that, you know, like, I remember it was a while ago, you sent me this, it was Monty Python on a public broadcasting station or some kind of morning show in New York City.
Right.
And the show opened with this montage of sort of mid-1970 America. And I was swept over with this feeling of nostalgia looking at these images. I was just like, that's, you know, that's me at, you know, grade four or grade five, you know. And I could hardly care less about the whole Monty Python part of it. I kept going back and watching this this opening segment because it was so interesting, because it was everything that I remember from that time, you know, the sort of the way people were dressed, the way it looked, the way it was filmed, the, you know, the particular grain of the film, everything about it was nostalgic and made the sort of feeling well up inside me. Now, someone who grew up at that, who was older than me at that time, would probably look at it and think it was kind of cheesy looking, you know? But for me, it evokes something different.
I think what's going to especially not age well is our 24-hour news channels, because everything there is, you know, what's going to kill your baby? You're all going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, they've got to shock you to bring
podcasting.
You in. And you,
podcasting will kill your baby.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to see. If you're listening to this in the future, write us in the past and let us know.
Please do.
I assume in the future you will have the technology to do that.
Yes.
So there you are.
I'm basing all my retirement plans on that. I'm hoping to get a letter from myself very soon with some winning lottery numbers on it. Come on, Dave, you can do it.
I think almost all fear-based media is going to look especially silly. It does not age well, because the threat that you're warning people of almost always does not come true. And so mm-hmm. it's just, what was that about?
Yep.
You know?
Yep,
but I mean,
true.
I think that's a general thing that you learn over time and in life, is the things that you were scared of. It was kind of silly to be scared of that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't as big a saber-toothed tiger as would have thought it was at the time. And Yeah. And hopefully you can take that into your present life and use that and not just still be scared of every shadow. Could I tangent for just a second?
Go ahead.
When you were mentioning the Trudeau years, I'm gonna nerd this up for just a second.
Okay.
I'm not gonna fully nerd it up like last time. But when I was a kid, I was reading an X-Men comic book, mm-hmm. and a shadowy figure was after Wolverine, and they were trying to catch Wolverine. It was the first X-Men comic I ever bought, and the shadowy figure was Trudeau. And he was just this evil villain who was, we will capture Wolverine and bring him back to Weapon X. This would be like probably around 78, 79.
Was John Byrne drawing it?
Yes, he was.
So he probably just drew, because he didn't like Trudeau, so he drew Trudeau as the villain. It probably wasn't in the script.
Oh, no, I'm sure it was, because the idea was Canada wanted Wolverine back, because Wolverine is
so Canadian. They sent the Prime Minister to...
No, they did not send Trudeau to fight. No, they sent a character called Guardian.
Because Trudeau had an adamantium skeleton as well.
That's right.
That's an actual fact.
Oh, no, we all know that.
Because there's a thing that he did. He was doing a press conference or press appearance, and he pirouetted. But actually, he didn't actually pirouette. It was because there was a large magnet nearby.
Right.
And the force of it caused him to spin around because of the adamantium in his skeleton.
Yeah, and they said, when will you stop spinning, Mr. Prime Minister? And he went, just watch me.
That's right.
And then he said, spun for at least five more years.
Five more years.
They called him the spinning Prime Minister. And
That's how clever we are in Canada.
Yeah. Well, you had... Okay, the problem is you can't do wordplay.
They didn't call him... Because his name was Pierre Trudeau. They didn't call him the Pierre
Trudeau. No, you can't, because
Trudeau.
It has to be in French as well as English. No. So we can't do puns. That's one thing. If you're listening and you're American, Canadians cannot do puns because they have to translate into both Canadian... I was going to say Canadian and French. Well, you know what? I actually kind of meant that probably, but I...
They both have to translate.
I apologize for that hate crime.
We apologize to New Brunswick.
Now, going again back to our previous show, because, you know, speaking of nostalgia, how about that show we did last week?
It was awesome.
Now, we had a friend of ours, Branwyn Bigglestone. Mm-hmm. Branwyn works at Image Comics. I think she invented Spawn. I think that's what she did. I think she's the creator of Spawn.
Yes.
Like Todd McFarlane came to her with the idea and went, I have this character. He's got jump ropes. And she went, how about chains? And he went, yes. And
was the cape also Branwyn's?
Yeah, the cape was also Branwyn's.
The 50-yard cape?
Yeah, what it was before was it was a tiny bunny giving him a hug around the neck.
Okay.
And she went, why don't you lose the bunny? And we'll go with a giant cape. Okay. And Todd McFarlane went, that's awesome. I won't have to draw legs. And boom, you know what? The money truck just backed right up. And that financed, I think, the 90s. Not just the comic industry in the 90s, but that financed the entire 90s so much so that there was money left over, and that made the dot-com boom afterwards. Just because there was so much money just from Spawn. But that's Branwyn Bigglestone who was responsible for that. But she wrote us, and she said she enjoyed our topic that we started off last time, which was what's your favorite fictional dragon, as you have said.
Yep.
By the way, as you also mentioned, no one enjoys Pete's dragon. No one will ever say that. With $1 million on the line and a gun to your head, no one could tell you the plot of Pete's Dragon.
No. I could actually.
Could you?
No.
In three sentences, Pete's Dragon plot, go.
Okay, boy meets invisible dragon. No one else can see it. Boy and dragon rescue town from evil developer.
Okay, are you sure that's not Puff the Magic Dragon?
No, that's a song.
I know it's a song, but it's also a TV special.
Is it?
Yeah. They made a TV special out of it. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
And again, I think...
So no.
All right. Fair enough. All right. But Pete's Dragon bashing aside, you didn't come to this podcast to hear Pete's Dragon getting bashed. Last time, Dave said some horrible things about Star Trek, upset another one of our listeners. And I know there's a real strong Pete's Dragon fan base.
I did not say
there.
Horrible things about Star Trek.
I said absolutely
true things about Star Trek.
All right. Fair enough. There's a lot of Pete heads out there right now. We call them pedophiles. They really enjoy Pete's Dragon. And they get together with their pedophile meetings. And a lot of people don't understand what they're about because they say their name too quickly.
That they eat pizza.
That's right. They eat pita pizza. That's what they do. Anyway, Branwyn asked us, made a request, and I think, you know, when we've got three listeners, we should probably respond to at least a third of them.
Once again, the math.
What is our favorite non-fictional dragon?
Our favorite non-fictional dragon.
Non-fictional.
So real dragon.
Actual real dragon.
So like Komodo dragon?
That would be one. Or the Kyoto dragon, which cares about the environment.
The Kyoto dragon cares about the environment?
That's right, the Kyoto dragon.
But isn't he part of the problem? Him and his fiery breath is causing global warming.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a dragon-based factor.
It really is the large infestation of dragons.
That was the original global warming was dragons.
Yeah, exactly. Caused a lot of problem.
Do you have a real dragon that you like? If you don't, I do have...
Okay, you go.
Okay. I hate that I set you up, and then I took that ball from you
ball.
And just ran away with it myself.
Yep, it's his ball, and he's taking it home.
My favorite dragon, and I got to clarify this, are the Dragon's Den dragons.
Ooh.
Now, not the CBC Dragon's Den dragons.
Because they're tiresome.
Because they are tiresome. But, except for the lady. I like her.
Okay, I've never watched the show, actually.
Interesting, and she's got interesting hair that looks like the comic book character, the Spectre. I like that.
Okay,
but the BBC British dragons.
Yep.
Now, Dragon's Den is a UK show as well, but there, like here, it's that's nice. There, it matters. Like I was in England doing a show.
How do you mean it matters? Is there a trap door that they fall into a pit if they don't like the?
That is the plot of a lot of more than one game show. I say a lot. I can think of two game shows.
Would Dragon's Den be a game show?
It's kind of a game show. You win money.
Okay.
You present.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say yes. Dragon's Den is a game show.
So it's not a reality show.
No, there's nothing. No, it's not a reality show. Okay. It, any more than a game show is a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's a good point. Yes, I qualify Dragon's Den as a reality show. So noted.
Or a game show.
Oh, for God's sake, we're going to get the lawyers on this. All right. But when I was in England,
our own lawyers.
I was doing a sketch show there with my group in the past. So we're no longer together. Canadian content, but we were in London and we got invited on the BBC Radio, BBC 4. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many radios they have, but they definitely have
at least
four.
Six. They have at least six.
They have six. That's a lot of BBC radios. Mm-hmm. So we got invited to BBC 4. I guess that's good, is it? It's in the top four,
yeah.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. And so we show
it's
up
just
there.
Just out of the ribbons.
Right. And it's a morning interview show, and we're going to do a little performance. And before I get started on that, boy, they had good food. Like, it was weird. Like, I've worked
at the studio.
At the BBC.
So everywhere else in the country, according to the cliche, the food is bad. But
absolutely not.
At the CBC... Awesome food.
All British food.
It's flown in from France.
Yeah.
Every morning.
British food generally... All right, here's how British food works. It goes... At least British breakfast goes under the assumption, one, you're hungover, mm-hmm. and two, you've smoked all your life.
Okay.
And so we need to give you as much salt and fat as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Which was
that
right
would
because...
be a pretty good summary of all meals there, actually.
Yeah. Well, my grandparents are from England, and they used to just eat raw onions like apples. Mm-hmm. And again, it was because you've been a smoker. You know, you worked
well,
in the factory.
But they like the taste.
Who wouldn't? A nice raw onion.
My wife's uncle.
Yeah.
He is not a smoker. Yet, at a party, a garden party that we were at when we were in England on one of our trips, he was eating a raw onion sandwich and was carrying it around, eating it, and talking to people, which I thought was kind of off base. You really shouldn't be talking to people while eating a raw onion sandwich.
No, unless it's a specific onion party, mm-hmm. and other onion eaters are around you. In
that's
which case,
fair.
It's the old thing.
That's
if
fair.
If you and your lady friend or boyfriend or what mm-hmm. have you are both having a garlicky meal, then mm-hmm. you're on even keel. If one of you is and the other one isn't, the one who isn't is being a jerk. Let me just say that. Okay, back
He's
to
coming down hard on this.
I am. You know, they'd say like you're a jerk for eating the garlic. No, you're a jerk mm-hmm. for not eating garlic. Take
yeah,
the hit, eat the
that's
garlic.
That's true. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. So I'm at the BBC, and the reason I brought up the food, and I didn't bring up the food because it was delicious. we were there, and I've worked for the CBC since I was 14 here in Canada, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I didn't think it was that bad till I saw what it was supposed to be over there. Like the BBC is what the CBC
strives to be.
Yeah, strives to be. They use BBC as their model. You go there and you go, oh, this is how it's supposed to go. It's like you've only watched a Little League baseball all your life, and all of a sudden you go to a professional baseball game. You're like, oh, I get it. They're not supposed to cry and fall down and pee their pants. I see. So anyway, we go to the BBC. And they had the most delicious spread, like beautiful sandwiches, like amazing sandwiches. And that just blew us away was that we're like, they're actually giving us food, which CBC would never do on their best day. They would never feed you, never. And it was great. But anyway, we go and we do the interview. And two of the people there at the interview are Dragon's Den, not Dragon's Denners. They couldn't get the Dragon's Den winners.
Okay.
And Dragon's Den winners that the whole country knows. Because it's such a big deal. One guy got like it was a sauce, like a Jamaican jerk sauce, and I think he was also a musician. But this sauce now was like the biggest sauce. Like it was selling like crazy. And another person came up with an idea, and now this idea he was a millionaire. And that show actually, oh, that's what the show does if it actually works. And it was
so that doesn't happen here.
No,
with the Dragon's Den here.
No, sir, it does not. No,
like the ideas that are accepted, they don't. It doesn't.
Oh, they
pan
do
out.
Do them. They do them, but they do them on such a small Canadian level that it's
okay.
Hey, that's nice.
Well, that's a difference. I mean, there's a difference between a country that's really small,
mm-hmm.
like England,
mm-hmm.
is small. Sorry, Englanders or Great Britainers.
They know.
It's small. I mean,
that's why you have to call yourself great.
It's the size
of. You don't
call
yourself great if you're already big. Like
yeah.
you don't. Yeah.
It's smaller than our province.
Sure is.
So, but it has the population. That's larger than all of Canada, right? There's
yes.
like 55 million or 56 million people.
Yeah, I think there's also more British people there than Canada.
What do you mean?
In England.
There's more British people in England.
Than there are in Canada.
I would hope so.
Good, okay.
We don't want them here.
Of course you don't. Why would you?
Ugh.
Exactly.
Okay, go on with your story.
No, you were going on with your story. You were clarifying something.
I was just going to say that.
Don't throw it on me after your racial slur.
I didn't make you.
And that's right. And that's why I don't trust the stinking English.
I did not say that.
What were you saying, Ian? No, I was not, Dave. I was not. You're not clarifying my point.
I did not say that.
Not at all.
I love the English. I love being in England. But I was going to say that it's a bit of a difference. A country that's as big as Canada,
mm-hmm.
that has as small a population as Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And a country that is as compact as England and has a larger population. The yeah. same way your experiences, as a, you know, your commercial experiences would be different in the United States with a population that's 10 times larger than ours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that does make a difference, I think. Like, of course it's smaller scale. It's Canada. It's a small place.
I think there's also a thing, though, there where the class system, even though they go, hey, the class system isn't around anymore. Yeah, it kind of is. So the idea of the common person mm-hmm. going up to the rich people and going, this is my idea, m'lud, and then going, here's your money, go forth. It appeals more than it does in Canada, where it was just... Hey, you got a couple of there you go. Whenever they do a catch up on the Dragon's Den people who have done well, it's always like, and how are you doing? Oh, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great, and it's all working out for you.
Nice.
And you know, you're keeping your head above water, and things are swell. Okay, but there, it's you can become a millionaire. You can become the next big thing if you have the proper amount of cash. And it's much bigger there. So. I'd say they are my favorite real, actual dragons.
I think the other difference would be, I believe, I mean, it may have changed. I haven't gone back for, I think the last time I was there was 2001, so it's been a while since.
That is quite the restraining order, okay.
This is true. Now when I'm bitter.
Said some horrible things about Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yes, I did. I'm not going to say what I said.
No, you can't, because then you'd be banned for yet another 10 years.
And my legal team will get on us again. Or me, anyway. I was going to say that... what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say that there... As far as I remember, there are fewer TV channels there.
Yes.
Like, you know, so interest in a show like that would be more concentrated than you would find here with, you know, the 100 and whatever channels you can watch here. Most of them... There's more channels on the television,
but
most of them repeat it over and over again.
So many shows, though. You know, we've here in North America, we're just kind of getting this podcast business. You know, it's relatively new. Once again, the idea of a couple of people yapping, you know, mm-hmm. just trying to be funny-ish and interesting-ish. And, you know, I do enjoy that. But in England, there are channels where that's it. There's a channel called Dave. And it's
But this is radio you're talking about.
No, I'm talking television.
Oh, really?
I'm talking television.
Okay, this is different than when I was there before.
Yeah, it's people sitting around a table and just kind of being witty. That's the whole idea. It's just like, hey, let's just have fun.
They love that there.
Yeah, they love it. They love this, just to sit down and a chit chat.
And that's the whole channel. It's called Dave.
The channel is called Dave.
Yeah.
And it's basically, you know, the equivalent of, you'd say it's almost, it looks like a game show, but no one wins anything. It looks like a talk show, but it doesn't function as a talk show. Usually there's one dumb guy, and people generally make fun of that guy. But even the dumb guy is brilliant. That's like, it's like the Carl Pilkington thing where they're like, hey, look at this idiot.
QI.
But, yeah, exactly. QI. They have the one guy on there. But like, even the dumb guys in England, they know all the countries. They've mm-hmm. got a greater base of knowledge than, you know, our relatively, you know, smart fellows.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always a little bit odd to watch. Is like, this guy doesn't know what the capital of that country is. Yeah, but he knows that country and where it is something about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I think when I went to England and saw that, I just went, oh, man, I wish we could have something like that here.
I'm in because Dave,
mm-hmm.
I would like get hired right away.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, what's your qualifications? I'd say, my name is Dave. They'd be like, all right. And they just make a little check mark in a box. And next thing you know, I have a television show. That easy. That simple. See, when I was there...
In Canada, it would have to be called Gord.
Gord. When I was there, I think I told you this before. I would be with, once again, my wife's uncle. We were watching cricket. We'd watch cricket for about 2.5 hours.
Right. He's chowing down on a big, tasty onion... Burrito.
No, there's no burritos. This is a sandwich.
Well, I'm calling it a burrito. What it is, it's an onion wrapped in another onion.
Okay.
that's an onion burrito in England.
It's an onion wrapped in a leek.
Oh, there you go. Yes, that's it.
Wrapped in a, yeah. So we watched cricket. which, you know, if you watch it for long enough, kind of like baseball, becomes hypnotically interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you kind of feel like, and it's so mysterious that you, you know, you sort of feel like you're grasping it, and then it kind of moves away from you again. You're kind of like, oh, I see. So if that guy does that, oh, no, that's not what happens.
Yeah, it's very dreamlike.
But it's kind of like that. It was followed by a show called A Man and His Dog, which was basically was two different dogs competing in sheepdog trials. It was a half an hour program that followed cricket. I thought that was so great that you had something that was most people would regard as pretty dull, cricket, North Americans. I mean, obviously people who grew up with cricket think it's the cat's pajamas, but you know, the rest of the world's kind of mystified.
You mean unnecessary, much like cat's pajamas.
Cat's pajamas are, okay, the bee's knees.
Once again, unnecessary.
Bees need knees. It's a well-known etymological fact.
Good for attempting that.
Etymological?
Good for attempting it.
Which one is it?
Only.
Why do they have two words that mean the different things that sound so alike?
Because
entomology.
Because that's English.
Or etymology.
Yeah, it's English. Oh, our language is horrible. I'm going to look it up. We don't want anyone else to learn it, because if they learn it, they will be able to attack us.
Okay, put a pause in. I'm going to look it up on Google, and then I'm going to edit it in. So, little pause. Interesting etymological fact that bees do need, require knees. Have you ever seen them land? Clumsy.
Mm-hmm. And also, they're very religious.
And they need to pray.
They have to pray to bejesus.
Jesus. They pray the bejesus out of it.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know where that came from.
Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Bejesus. Bejesus. Crucified.
Save us from Satan and bears. Yes.
The land of milk and honey.
And you know who he lost to was, Barabbas.
Barabbas, that's right. Who do you want us to free? Barabbas.
Barabbas.
Oh, brother. Okay. I can't remember where I was going. Oh, yeah, so it was a TV show. This two dogs, a man and a whistle.
Two dogs, man, a whistle, and a pizza parlor.
And no, there's no pizza parlor.
Okay.
It's just, and then, you know, like a pen, and they would just herd the sheep in, and that was the show. Then you're like, okay.
So literally,
television is different here.
Was that show on late at night?
No.
Because I would say, like, that show is literally counting sheep.
4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. What's your lead in to that?
Cricket.
Cricket is your lead in. Mm-hmm. Okay. So cricket, and then you're all riled up from watching cricket.
That's right. You're all on
edge.
You're
like, oh, hyper. I got to eat, and my stomach's just tense because I've watched too much cricket.
I've watched too much guys with sweaters on.
How do I calm down? And then you watch your dog leading sheep, mm-hmm. sheep around,
mm-hmm.
and then it's nice and soothing.
That's right.
And then that would be followed by
I have no idea.
Gordon Ramsay telling
it was time to do things.
Yeah, yelling at people until they cry.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Television has changed in England. See, it's been a while since I was there.
Yeah, there is that. That's an element of television that I'm sorry has made it to North America is the mean ass yelling at people, the scold.
Yeah.
You know, you get your Simon Cowells, and it's weird because you got.
There's just one of them, but you have Simon Cowells.
Right. America in particular likes a British person telling them they stink.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Because who's that other guy who does the America's Got Talent?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure.
Basil Updike?
Basil Forsythe? If it's not Basil Foreskin, is it just keep making offensive names up?
Updike?
What's offensive? You know what? Let's go. It's Basil Updike.
Poor John Updike, the author. He's now banned from libraries.
Sure.
Thanks, Ian.
As you were.
Who's next?
It's very strange. It feels like there's a little
get
something.
Get that Dickens off the shelf.
There's something from the Revolutionary War that they haven't let go of. They still got daddy issues, I think, America. And they still want England to at some point just come over and go, good job. And you know what? England never will.
No.
England never will. They'll never come over and go like, good for you. Good for you. You know what? We're proud of you. I think you did the right thing breaking away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Instead, they want him to sit down and tell you your kids can't sing and they're fat and they're stupid and they shouldn't have even tried.
Mm-hmm.
And how dare you cook this food? And then they throw the risotto on their shirts.
After, you know, several cuss words and...
Yeah, but silly cuss words. Like when you hear Gordon Ramsay swearing... And then you hear proper British swearing. You're like, well, that's just silly swearing. That's like one level down from proper British swearing.
So he's sort of like, what the kippers is going on here? Is that his swearing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant with that.
Okay.
No, it's just it's so base and basic, and it's just like it's so sixth grade swearing. You know, it's just like, what's that about? Come on. You know, you're England. You've got good language. You know, mm-hmm. if you get some Cockney swear words in there, mix it sure. up a bit. You know, shock us. Make us go, what's that about? You know, it's funny when you go to England, one of the words that they can't say is fanny. They hate, fanny. Say fanny. That's like a big swear word there. Ooh, and we really? Say it like so delicately. Like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is my, if you say this is my fanny pack,
yeah.
woo, like immediately.
Well, I think they're reacting to the fact that you're wearing a fanny pack.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Well, what, you know, what's the option? What's
butt
the
bag.
Option? A bandolier kind of sash?
A butt bag.
A butt bag, sure.
They're okay with that.
All right.
If you said, this is my butt bag, they'd be like, oh, that's nice. Very nice. I like a butt bag.
I just feel sorry for America. They're never going to get that kind of closure. I think like England just has to at some point just go, good for you. And I think at that point, they're just going to go, you know what? We don't need all these guns. We don't need these guns. We're going to put those guns away.
Because that's, right.
that's all they're there for is to fight off King George. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they're worried about that.
King George is dead.
Is he?
Is this?
I didn't even know he was sick.
Is this more evidence of the poor education, this sort of mythical poor education of Americans that they don't realize that King George is dead? They're sort of like arming themselves. He's coming back. Quick, build a bomb shelter, a King George shelter.
Well, I mean, you got the Great Wall of China. I mean, that thing, you know, what's that protecting you from now? But they keep that up.
Well, Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah.
But I guess it's protecting the English from themselves.
You know what? Maybe that says something.
I think we can all learn from that.
That would be the takeaway you're getting from this episode is we can learn that. You know what it's probably protecting him from? Dragons.
Totally.
You know,
because if you've ever been to Scotland, it is empty. Like you think of the British Isles mm-hmm. having, you know, 56 million people or whatever there is there now, 60 million people. And you go to Scotland and it's like driving through a ghost heath. There's nothing. For miles, you drive and drive and drive and drive and drive, and you just pass a lot of heather,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking to yourself, where is everyone? Should be packed. People should be like lined up, but like sardines and like kippers in this place, and no, it's empty. It's
okay,
amazing.
Okay, that's two kipper references.
I know. I'm liking that word today.
All right. That is something about Europe is you feel like even England where you're going like, oh, there's lots of people. There's a lot of nothing though there too.
I know.
And you're like, well, why don't you store your stuff here? Just take your stuff and put it here. And then, you know, I'm saying that being Canada. Frankly, I think we should just like take Saskatchewan and we'll just use that as a storage locker. We'll just put all our stuff there.
Ooh, what? He went there.
What? What's wrong with that? It's a lot of space.
It's the Keystone Province.
It is named after the Keystone Cops because it's the silliest province.
It's the silliest. Where do you go there? As soon as you cross the border from Alberta and Saskatchewan, it's
everything goes black and white.
People running around with ladders, and it's the same person on both ends.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Why doesn't that guy on the end just like brace himself? He knows every time, but like woo, going around those corners. Speaking of being in England, driving around. That's a little scary. Not just the other side of the road business, but when we went there, there's random signs and you don't know what that means.
Okay, well, that's different.
Then. Right.
Like that's not really random.
Well, they have things
I think they have meaning to them.
Okay, well, of course they do. But here was one of them. We went out and we were going actually for a walk, got out of the car, and there was a sign there that said, warning, badgers.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, now I don't – okay, there's a couple ways that can go. One, warning, badgers will hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Or warning, don't bother the badgers. Badgers need their space. Easy, buddy.
Okay. But when you looked at the sign, you saw that it was a little silhouette of badgers wearing leather jackets and carrying flick knives. Right?
That's right. It was kind of West Side
so
Story.
So then you knew.
West End Story.
You knew West End Story. You knew right away that you weren't. You know, badgers might mess with you.
That's right. Well, we asked at a pub that night about that and went, what was the deal with that? And they went, oh, yeah, they're bad news. So here's what you got to do when you go out, you know, mm-hmm. you got to have a stick. You got to have
okay.
a big stick. And we're like, well, that's great. Okay, you got a good walking stick.
A badger stick.
That's right, your badger stick. And so we went, oh, because then you can fight off the badgers. And they go, oh, no, that's not what you do. You can't fight off a badger. All right, so what's the deal with this? And the thing is, you're walking along, mm-hmm. and if a badger grabs your leg, bites your leg, it's going to bite until it hears the bone break, because that's what it does. It bites till it hears the break. So what you do is you take your stick, and you break your stick, and it goes, well, my job here is done. It does the badger checkout. Click. It goes,
okay.
and it's
okay. I just want to say one thing about the story.
Yeah.
After you guys left the pub, They were a laughing.
Oh, I completely.
They were killing themselves laughing
because
they bought
like,
that story.
You've taken the one weapon you've got and you've broken it in front of the badger, and the
that's
badger's
right.
just looking at you like, "Well, that
well,
was
that's
your
it."
Only
and then
chance.
He goes into some sort of kung fu pose with his little feet. Oh, that'd be so cute. I'm just picturing this little cute badger with his hands up and his feet kind of.
We never knew whether or not they were just funning with us. And then they asked, "Well, what have you got? You don't have badgers in Canada?" I went, "No, we don't really have badgers where we are." And well, what do you got? And I went, "Well, we've got bears." Which to them seemed ridiculous.
That we, bears?
Yeah.
That you're we afraid like, of bears? All they want are picnic baskets.
Sorry, pick-a-nick baskets.
Pick-a-nick baskets.
That's right. And a cure for their speech impediments. And new neckties.
Poor bears.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't believe that we've actually got bears. And
do you know what else are dangerous? Beavers.
Explain.
I know it sounds crazy, right? But I was listening to the radio one day, and they're
that
talking
sounds,
to this
that
man.
Sounds, yeah,
they're talking to this man, and he was
crazy.
Driving over a bridge, and he hit a beaver.
Damn.
That's right.
Look, there's a 6-year-old laughing at that stupid joke right now. I'm doing it for that one 6-year-old.
He appreciates it.
Okay.
So the man got out of his truck, being a concerned person. He got out of his truck.
And a Canadian?
He's Canadian, yeah.
Oh, so legally you have to get out.
If you hit a beaver.
If any beaver is in trouble, you must aid the beaver or you lose your health care.
That's right. You have to get, even if it's dead, you have to get out and put a nickel on it. So he...
that guy thought the car could stop on a dime.
It's a nickel. He got out of the car to check out what the beaver was doing, and the beaver attacked him and bit him on the leg.
Yes.
Now, we all know what beaver teeth look like. Right?
Yeah, they're very
long,
tooth-like.
Toothy, kind of curved in for biting on trees and stuff like that. And here's another thing. My wife Lisa and I were driving home one night. It was about 1 in the morning. We were coming home from a show.
Okay.
We turned onto our road, and there was a beaver cutting down a tree, like chewing a tree down.
Right.
It was gigantic. I can't believe how big it is. You picture a beaver, you think small, right?
Right, because it's got to fit on a nickel. Yeah,
a little thing. Yeah, that's right. I thought it was as small as a coin. No, I figured
that's your problem because David. People don't know. David thinks things are the size they are in pictures. He's got that disorder.
It's a disorder.
He was very surprised every time he sees a celebrity seen on television and they're human size.
For all the ones I've seen. So it was enormous. Like it was. Three or 4 feet. I'm just talking the body, not the tail.
Right.
3 to 4 feet long. Not. I was thinking like 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Tip to tail for a beaver. I thought they're just like small little cute guys that chew down. They are big.
Yep.
So anyway, so this beaver attacked this guy. And he had to fight it off. Like it was mad at him for hitting him in the first place. Which I would be too. I mean,
right.
If someone hit me, I would bite him on the leg. Are you okay? Chomp. That would be my response.
Well, and again, because the beaver does not speak English. A beaver only.
So you're saying it would be wrong if I, because I speak English, it would be wrong for me to bite him on the leg.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Are you the beaver in this scenario?
No, I'm a person who gets hit by someone in a car.
Yeah.
I'm laying on the road. The guy comes over to check how I'm doing, and I bite him on the leg.
I don't agree with that. That sounds like zombie talk, Dave.
So what you're telling me now is I have to apologize to that person.
I think you do.
I'm going to have to write him a letter. I'll have my legal team write him a letter.
That's a foolish thing to do, by the way, too. I mean, that you cannot then in court go, I didn't do it, because you got your bite marks on there. They can CSI that completely.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately it's you.
I had the false teeth in.
Good. Clever.
Mm-hmm. I always wear them just in case I get hit.
So you're saying the beaver had false teeth?
No, the beaver had actual teeth.
Sorry, I lost track of the story.
Everyone else did too. No, it was. I was amazed. I'm just going to say, because I don't know. You kind of associate beavers with hard work.
Yeah.
Right.
A busy beaver.
They're hard work.
Who is a harder worker? A busy beaver or a busy bee?
Who's a harder worker? Oh, I think bees are harder worker than. Bees are harder workers. Than beavers are.
Mm-hmm.
But beavers are hard workers. Like, they're busy. Like, we have beavers, like I say, we have beavers that live near us. And if you go walking through the paths near where I live, you'll see.
If you go out in the woods today,
you'll be in for a big surprise. Many trees have been cut down right before not before your eyes. They're just laying. They make bridges over the creek. Like, I don't know if they mean to. there's trees that I can walk across.
Do you think everything beavers do is incidental?
Well, I don't know if they're planning because they swim.
It's an incidental dam.
Well, they swim. I don't know. They're like, oh, I should make.
Back it
I don't
up.
Feel like
back
swimming.
It up. Incidental
I don't feel
dam.
Like swimming.
Back it up.
Incidental what?
Incidental dam. Okay, moving on.
I'm confused.
You understand, don't you, audience? Yeah, you're getting me. All right, keep moving on. I'll explain it after.
Incidental. Oh, dental dam. Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry.
That's why we're on a 10-second delay.
That's right. I'll edit out my confusion, and then I'll just be laughing heartily.
The hell you
okay,
will.
Wait. Pause. Dental dam.
Incidental dam.
Oh, wipes tear.
Okay, back to your beaver talk.
No, yeah, like they are really busy. Like there are trees down. And then the creek is always like threatening to flood its banks because of the beavers, and then they have to,
unless its demands are met.
Well, they have to. That's right. Yes, they have to regularly take the dam down because the creek is a
right,
salmon.
Yeah.
It's a salmon run. It's part of the salmon that feeds into the freezer.
That's right.
And so it's a spawning place. So the beavers.
It's for discouraged. It's both salmon spawning and salmon fun runs.
Salmon spawning, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. The salmons have chains and really long capes.
Yes, they do.
That's a callback to an earlier part of the show.
Yeah. Do you know who would not be impressed by the story of the giant beaver? Australians. Australians.
Because they live in the most dangerous country in the world.
Yeah, and I've got a friend who is every time, you know, we're talking to him and he brings up something about the mm-hmm. nature of his element. Like,
yeah.
He's, you know,
yeah.
He lives in a very artsy community, lives
uh-huh.
in Perth.
Okay.
He's a dance instructor. He writes comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice fellow, mm-hmm. one of our best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he'll tell me something like, I'm driving down the street and the spider, I know it's a spider on my hand. You think like that's a spider on your hand. But it's a spider. It's the size of a freaking crab. Like, it's just insano. And this is normal days.
And because they share the car.
Yeah.
He didn't realize it was a spider's day.
That's right. They have a spider carpool there, and he wasn't aware. Well, here's his description of what it's like living there. It's like you the worst thing, he said, isn't seeing a spider. The worst
mm-hmm.
thing is you get up and you
sitting
see a spider.
On a spider?
No, you see a spider
mm-hmm.
on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge spider.
Yeah.
And then you look away for a second to get something. Look back, it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, now the spider is somewhere in the room
mm-hmm.
that you and you know how fast this moves. And, you know, I just don't know why at that point you don't then just move.
To a different house.
Not to a different house. Just get out of there. Like, okay, so you leave then. And it's like all the deadliest spiders, all
mm-hmm.
the deadliest snakes
mm-hmm.
are there.
Mm-hmm.
And then say you're going to go swimming. You want to go swimming. You want to go swimming like in the ocean. There you got a great white shark is in the ocean. That thing's going to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
You like go inland. Go, I'm going to swim in like a lake. What's in there? You got a crocodile in there, which
mm-hmm.
is like a great white shark, except it can walk.
Except it's green.
Yeah, it's green.
It's a green white shark.
And it can chase you.
Or a great green shark. Oh, it doesn't matter. Forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, okay, well, I get yeah. that once upon a time with Australia, you had to live there because people put you there. And
mm-hmm.
again, it's beautiful. It's lovely.
Yes.
But I think at some point, and you know, I love nature. I do enjoy nature. But I think a killing spree must occur. Or, you know what, you don't even have to, if you feel guilty, look, I understand, you feel guilty, you don't want to kill nature. Nature is deadly. Have it fight itself.
Okay. Okay, I just want to say two things. One.
Please say three things.
I'm going to say three things.
All right.
Three things.
Make
one,
the third one the funny one.
Okay. One, mm-hmm. the thing that shocked and surprised me about Australia is when I discovered that female platypuses have a poisonous stinger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're
that's
such,
their wit.
They're so kooky. They're like this kooky-looking little thing
mm-hmm.
with a duck bill.
Right.
Like almost kind of beaverish.
Only mammal that lays eggs.
The only mammal that lays eggs, and they have a poisonous stinger that can kill you.
Right.
The other thing that's interesting about Australia, and now I'm forgetting it, so I'll move on. So I was going to say something else, but it doesn't matter. Well, the other interesting, this is not what I was going to say, but I'll just say it anyway.
Like the rest of what we've been babbling about for
okay.
like 40 minutes.
No,
matters.
I know what I was going to say, but I'll say this other thing about it. This
Please.
Is a four interesting things. The other thing is that
four interesting things.
Eucalyptus trees
yes.
only will, the seeds will only open in a fire.
Oh.
So, you know, that, what does it tell you about the country? The trees are so tough. It takes a fire to actually germinate, for the seed to germinate, like open up and start.
It's phoenix-like.
Yeah, yeah. I guess because when a fire, it creates enough organic material, like, you know, enough whatever nutrients for, in the soil for the
right.
seed to grow.
Now, if I'm a koala bear and I want to eat a eucalyptus leaf, do I have to then learn how to light fire? Because that was
well,
how,
I think that's a big part of Australia.
Well, that's
was,
how mankind
was big flash fires
evolved. Was we discovered fire? Are we now at a position where koalas? Because what I'm thinking is a secondary strain of evolution is going to occur, because if a koala has to learn how to make fire to get mm-hmm. eucalyptus leaves, it will. At which point, it will be able to cook food. It mm-hmm. will develop cities, koala
yes.
cities.
Yes.
They're both adorable and, mm-hmm. and a strong fighter. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a dangerous way to go.
And well, they already. I thought they already had an airline. So they're already kind of ahead of themselves. But the third thing I was going to say was...
Have we missed the second thing?
No, because the second thing was the trees.
All right.
The third thing... is,
by the way, this is the funny one, remember?
No, this isn't the funny one.
Okay.
If, well, it's kind of funny. I'm not going to promise any funny here. This is a podcast, people. There's no promise of entertainment.
No.
That's
the other thing is, we keep.
Okay, what animal went to Australia mm-hmm. and became like this scourge?
That would be the frog?
No.
Toad?
The bunny rabbit.
Oh.
So if it's so bloody dangerous, uh-huh. if animals there are so, you know, scary and horrible and has the most poisonous snakes and blah, 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 why are rabbits running out of control? That's a question, right?
Are they?
A good question. Are rabbits notorious for their defensive abilities? Do they have stingers?
Here's my theory.
Can they box?
Here's my theory.
Like kangaroos?
Yes. Well, the kangaroos only box if they're given boxing gloves that say Everlast. And then adorable trunks with a hole in the back for the tail. Here's my theory about the bunny rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in Australia is horrific, animal-wise. There's very little cuteness. Even like your kangaroos, you really look at them, and that's so cute. You look like a koala. You know what? It's not the cutest thing in the world. That's the cutest animal they got.
Is the koala?
The koala.
That's cute.
It's pretty cute, except it's vicious.
You know what else is cute? The Tasmanian devil.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
all
super
right.
cute.
But in no way as cute as the bunny rabbit. Now
bunny
I think that's its defensive.
So you think animals are coming up to it and going, ah?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think they're confused. They're like, if you're an Australian animal,
mm-hmm.
your life is horror after horror after horror because
okay.
you don't even get to go inside. You're like, oh, there's all the spiders, there's all the snakes. Everything is more grotesque and horrific and fanged and disgusting. And then you come across a bunny, but you're used to it. It's the devil you know. Then you come across a bunny rabbit. You don't know what to do with that. Your brain can't process mm-hmm. gentle and loving and kind.
Okay,
and so,
I just want to give you a rebuttal.
Your animal brain just goes poof, and then. It passes out and the bunny rabbit gets to escape.
Here's my rebuttal to you. Dingoes ate a baby. That's my rebuttal. The fourth point I was going to make was that I picture Australia looking entirely like the Road Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
That's my vision of Australia. It doesn't matter what party.
That is one of my friend's favorite movies.
So, because that's where he lives like. That's the world he lives in, right? It's all desert.
I don't think his dance academy is Road Warrior-ish.
His dance academy is probably in some kind of compound.
The swing dancing.
It's in a compound where they're producing gasoline and having a dance school.
Okay, so this is like
it's
Master
Australia.
Blaster's dance school.
It's Australia.
Okay.
Right?
So it's like there's a concert in the Thunderdome and there's like dancing is what you're saying?
I can't remember that movie.
Really?
I cannot remember it. I saw it.
Okay, we can take a break and we can just watch it.
Let's go watch it, and we'll come back.
Okay, let's come back.
No, we're not.
I'm so sorry I made you watch that. I remembered it being much better. There were diminishing returns on that for all three films.
When I saw it in the theater, the problem was is they had a sneak preview of Pee-wee's Big Adventure before Mad Max. Is it Beyond the Thunderdome?
Which one are you talking about? Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome was
yeah.
the third one, yeah, with
yeah.
Tina Turner.
They had a sneak preview of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and then we watched Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. Kind of unfair to Mad Max, because Pee-wee's Big Adventure was so great,
mm-hmm.
and then Mad Max was
very,
kind of a letdown after the
it was a,
second
it was very
installment.
Similar Mad Max to Army of Darkness. Now, if you just watched like the Evil Dead Army of Darkness
mm-hmm,
trilogy,
mm-hmm.
if
yeah.
you just watch Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and you have not watched the other Mad Max
okay.
movies, you will go, hey, that's all right. That's
okay.
pretty good. Same with like Army of Darkness, which was the first one I saw. I
okay.
like, yeah, that's okay. But you're not getting... But if you watch the early movies, they're both very different from each other.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
the sequel is not. You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
it does kind of, but it's not totally. But then you know, by the third film, they're just look. We know, look, we're going to make some money on this.
Yeah.
Settle down, everybody.
Yeah.
There's still some fun. There's still some whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're very very similar in that they were a trilogy that took different directions each time.
Yeah.
But the first film in each of the series is really pure and raw and very, very different. That in no way really resembles what the third film was. If you went from the first film to the third film, it would be like, what the hell? Like, that's a sequel to that?
Well, the first film, they had requirements they had to meet in order to have the film distributed by the person who was going to distribute it. He had a list of demands that they had to meet. Mm-hmm. So they had to have a certain number of deaths. They had to have a rape scene. They had to have, you know, certain horrific elements that had to be in the movie. The second one, they could just...
Certain amount of Vegemite in every scene.
Is that what it is, Vegemite?
Yeah, you can see Vegemite like in the background of every scene in the first movie somewhere. Just take a look in the HD. You'll see it.
Wonder where they're promoting that. But if you... The second film, I think, would be more...
That was not a true fact.
It was not a true fact?
No, not at all, no.
So it's only 95% true. So 5% of the scenes in Evil Dead have Vegemite.
Yes. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Or if you're talking Fahrenheit math, it's 37%.
And you're right in that both the first films and both have awkward rape scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, yeah. That is very much of the time.
Of the time and required to be shown in drive-in theaters, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a big part of the audience.
Even when you really like the films, there's the look away kind of scenes of like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was of the time. It's almost like all of a sudden someone comes out in a movie and...
Do you say both films have that?
Yeah, I'd say both of the first films in the trilogies have that.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Have their look away moments. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like when you're watching a cartoon and all of a sudden the character's in blackface briefly, and you're like, okay. You know, you just go, that was then, this is now.
Yeah.
Shrug your shoulders, okay. You know, don't endorse it, but the rest is okay. All right, here we go. He's going to judge us harshly for this podcast, clearly. The things we've said. I mean, your remarks about England alone.
Enough to cause another world war.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. I'll get the legal team on.
Okay, so we're gonna start wrapping this up now. Yeah, okay. No, you don't have to. You don't look so relieved. Okay? Okay, listener? Yeah, we can see you through your earbuds. So just to sum up what we've gone over today, we've learned that Australia has lovely people, terrifying animals,
mm-hmm.
But bunny rabbits are immortal because of their cuteness.
Yes.
All right. We've learned that Canada, the most fearsome animal in Canada is not the great bear,
nope.
But the wily beaver.
Larger than you'd expect.
Right. The beaver who will always look smaller from a distance than mm-hmm. he is when you actually see him.
Yeah.
So be terrified of the beaver. If all the Canadian animals fought all the Australian animals, who would win in that fight?
All the Canadian animals.
All the Canadian animals.
But all the Australian animals.
Right. Now I'm throwing in – sorry. I'm sorry. I'm actually like – I'm sparking this up again when I should be wrapping this up. Now I'm including your eagles. I'm including your eagles. I'm including your big herons. Yeah. I'm including the band The Eagles, which you know is a Canadian band. I'm including all types of bears.
I was thinking of North America.
You got your polar bears. Now let's remember those guys.
Polar bears. Polar bears are – yeah. I would say I would put Canada against any country in the world for –
For an animal
for
smackdown.
Animals. Because we have wolverines.
We have wolverines, and that is the only animal that fights for pleasure, except for man.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's only men that are involved in mixed martial arts.
That's right. WMA, Wolverine Martial Arts.
That's right.
Yeah. And then, we have the polar bear, we have the wolverine, we have the beaver, which can fight on land and water. The moose.
Oh, the moose.
I don't care what you say about a moose.
And your elk. Yeah.
Yeah. Moose are big. They are big. I've seen a moose like in
We're not I mean we've got an army in Canada and they're
we have
great.
Rattlesnakes.
Yeah, we got rattlesnakes. We got a lot of stuff going on. Our army, fine. But I think personally that we should just draft the animals into the Canadian army.
An elite fighting force.
That's right, because no other country has the nerve, has the guts to draft their animals. You know, we as Canada, I think when they say we stand on guard for thee, why is that just got to be people? You know what? Animals, we're defending you too. You defend yourselves. You defend us. We're all in this together, animals. And I think if you throw in our animals, we're a superpower. Canada. I mean, look at America. What do they got there? They got some dogs.
They have bears.
Yeah, but small bears that don't have any health care. And if they're a gay bear, they're not allowed to get married. For the most part.
Or serve in the military, so they wouldn't even be allowed into the...
That's right. Yeah, they can now. That's changed.
Is that it's don't ask, don't growl?
That's right. That's right. But I think I found a way for Canada to be, you know, to be on top.
To get up there in the world, the esteem of the world.
if we just dress our animals up in military outfits, we will look crazy enough that no one will ever attack us.
Rabbits carrying...
Okay, the rabbits aren't going to fool the Americans.
You need...
That will only fool the Australians.
But we were talking about Australia before.
Okay.
So we need to have rabbits involved in it. Wow.
Okay. So
there's one last thing I want to point out.
Please.
This is the last thing that we're going to talk about.
All right.
It's the fact that it suddenly occurred to me that I kept calling radio a visual medium. I so hope I didn't do that. I'm going to go back and listen to the beginning of the show and then blush in embarrassment.
Okay, but don't... Now, I know your temptation as the person who edits this is to go back and correct your mistakes.
That's right.
But if you do that, your parents may never get married and you might never be born. Do not meddle in the time-space continuum of podcasts.
You won't even hear...
All of a sudden, Hitler rises to power. There's robot dinosaurs. Just don't mess with it.
I don't think changing a podcast is going to affect Hitler.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to see... Mind Freud. I don't. I couldn't even think what it
mein
was.
Kleiner Freunde.
There you go. All right. That brings us to the end of episode 2 of the Sneaky Dragon podcast here in the Hell Kitty Studios in Vancouver, Canada. If you're in Vancouver, I'm going to throw a plug in for shows I'm doing because what the heck. Mm-hmm. I do a couple of shows. I do a show called Amuse Bouche over at Slickity Jim's Chat and Chew in Vancouver every Friday night. It's microphone free stand up. I also do a monthly sketch show called Titmouse with Dylan Reimer and his comedy All Sorts. Is there anything you want to plug, Dave?
No.
Fair enough. Then again, I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you want to post something on our wall, we'd be happy to read it. That's the least we could do.
Yeah, that's what we should plug, is we have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like you to like it and join it and comment on things.
As you do. You know how the world works now.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not on Twitter yet. Obviously, we will be at some point. We'll probably get on that Google thing. You know how it goes. You know how it goes.
Well, we are on Twitter.
You've been through this before.
You are on Twitter. You are.
I'm Ian Boothby on Twitter.
And I'm Dave Dedrick on Twitter. So you could follow us.
Oh, we are on Twitter. Okay, there. It's already begun. I don't think you were at the beginning of this. You have gone back in the podcast, changed history.
Yes, I have.
And gotten your... Look, stop it. Stop it.
Now Ian has three arms.
Oh, this is how the robot revolution begins. Okay, we're done. That's been Sneaky Dragon. Thanks so much for listening. We're gone. Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
How do you know it's night? And that's why I don't trust the stinking English.